Welcome. Here is Pastor Philip Higham, founder of Reviving Fire Ministries, with another motivating podcast. Please consider subscribing to listen to further inspiring messages.
Before we delve deep into what the Sabbath is, we need to be reminded that the fourth commandment given by God to Moses in Exodus chapter 20 verse 8 was, "Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy." God then repeats his command in a stronger mold in Exodus 31 verse 14 by saying, "You shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy for you." To show the seriousness of this command, he then adds in the same verse, "Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people." But how did the Sabbath come to be? Well, let's go back and read Genesis 2 verses 1 to 3. "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. On the first day God made light appear and named day and night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. On the second day he divided the waters from above and below the firmament and called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. On the third day God gathered the waters together into seas and made the dry land appear and saw that it was good. He then also created grass, herbs, and trees. So the evening and the morning were the third day. On the fourth day God set the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky, looked and saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. On the fifth day he created all the creatures of the sea and all the birds, and told them to fruitfully and multiply. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. On the sixth day God created man in his own image, which means that man would look like him and have control and government over the fish, the birds, and every living thing on the earth. So God created mankind, male and female, and told them to multiply, fill the earth and conquer it. Once again, God looked at all he had made, and this time he said that it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Think of it. If God had stopped creating before he created plants, animals, and man, the earth would have looked like an empty house without furniture, curtains, or lighting fixtures. So he continued his creative work until the heavens and the earth were filled with beautiful things, making it a beautiful place to be. Verse 1 of Genesis 2 tells us, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished," which is a direct follow-up to the end of Genesis 1 verse 31. During a six-day period, God completed his plan of creation in every part so that nothing should be missing. To do so, God had come out of the rest or tranquility of his all-sufficient internal being specifically to create the universe, which is distinct from his own essence. The hosts of them mentioned in this verse refers to all that he had made to put in the heavens, the stars, the planets, all he had made to put on the earth, the animals, the birds, the fish, other creatures, and man. To understand the word host, we must look at the ancient world, where a great army represented the ideal of an organized multitude which was numerous, put into position, disciplined, and under command. We could then replace the word host with the word army. Yes, you are correct. All that God had created is his army, under his exclusive control and made for his glory and pleasure. Therefore, he is sovereign and uses all his created hosts or armies, which are in the heaven and on the earth, for the defense of his people and for the destruction of his enemies. The book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 35, confirms that he does according to his will with them all. His works are perfect. They are so perfect that nothing can be added to it or taken from it, as mentioned in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14. Now, because God created all things until he had completed all items he intended to, there was nothing more to create. He then saw that it was very good and stopped creating, or if you prefer, he ceased making, which is a closer translation of the original Hebrew text. Having now finished all his work, he looked back on it in satisfaction of a job well done and admired it. Thus he returned to his eternal rest, which started again on the seventh day. God did not need to rest because he was tired or weary. He does not need rest because he is all-powerful and does not slumber or sleep, says Psalm 121, verse 3 and 4. This rest of God is not a rest of getting one's strength back after a heavy day of hard work. No, this is a ceasing of creation. It must be said here that although God ceased creating, he does not stop working. As God returned to his eternal rest and tranquility of his all-sufficient eternal being, he continues working. He just stopped creating new species, but continues day in, day out, forming the spirit of man within him, sustaining and maintaining his creation, preserving and governing all the creatures. With miracles for his own glory, he controls and overrules nature, but never changes its settled course. We know this because in the Gospel Jesus told us that his Father has been working until now, and I have been working. This rest of God is now everlasting, because on the seventh day there is no mention of an evening, like on the previous 6 days, where it is said that the morning and the evening was the day. God dedicated every seventh day to rest, that his own example might be an everlasting rule. This is a sacred rest that draws men away from the limitations of the world, that they may be dedicated entirely to God. Spiritual rest is the mortification of the flesh, so that the children of God should no longer live for themselves or indulge in their own inclinations. The Sabbath was a figure of this rest, which commanded men from the beginning to employ themselves in the worship of God. Therefore, it is right that it continue until the end of the world. And God blessed the seventh day. In Exodus 20, verse 10, God commands, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor stranger who is within your gates." Not only did God bless the seventh day, he also sanctified it, which means he took it out of its worldly relations to devote it to himself. In doing this, God was expressing divine sovereignty over time. God separated time into ordinary time and holy time, for God did not want humans to become slave of endless work. So humans are to rest one day in every seven in order to praise God and enjoy both the creation, the result of God's labors, and the result of their own work. Holy time, therefore, adds meaning to activity done in regular time. Observance of holy time also refreshes the human spirit, adding depth to the meaning of life. It is a blessing for working man and beast. God's work was also a spiritual power which streamed forth as a blessing upon the creation itself, bringing it into the blessedness of the rest of God and filling it with his peace. The divine act of blessing was a real communication of powers of salvation, grace, and peace, and sanctifying was not merely declaring it holy, but communicating the attributes of holiness. Through the sanctification of the seventh day, God renders it illustrious, that by a special law it may be distinguished from the rest. From this, it is also seen that God always respected the welfare of men. This benediction is nothing other than a solemn consecration by which God claims for himself the meditations and activities of the people on the seventh day. The business of our life is to consider the infinite goodness, justice, power, and wisdom of God in his magnificent environment of heaven and earth. Divine blessing on man and animals leads to fruitfulness and success. This blessing must be held sacred among all men. The blessing and sanctifying of the seventh day had regard to the Sabbath, which Israel, as a people of God, was afterwards to keep. The Sabbath is blessed by being sanctified, but it also suggests that those who observe the Sabbath will enjoy divine blessing in their lives. God's rest described here became a model for Israel to remember when they received the command to observe the Sabbath upon leaving Egypt. Sabbath observance is not a creation ordinance at all, but a command given to Israel to commemorate God's creative act and rest on the seventh day. The Sabbath of the Israelites had a deeper meaning founded in the nature and development of the created world, not for Israel only, but for all mankind, and rather for the whole creation. As the whole earthly creation is subject to the changes of time and the law of temporal motion and development, so all creatures not only stand in need of definite recurring periods of rest for the sake of recruiting their strength and gaining new power for further development, but they also look forward to a time when all restlessness shall give place to the blessed rest of the perfect completion. The Sabbath was from the Lord for the Israelites. It was commanded by God to be kept, observed holy as a time of rest, sanctified and set apart as a memorial of deliverance from slavery under Pharaoh, as mentioned in the text of Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 15, which reads, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day, and not a commendation of God's rest upon completing his work." It is mentioned in Ezekiel, when the prophet speaks about the millennium, that the Sabbath shall be kept. Chapter 44 verse 24 says, "In controversy they shall stand as judges, and judge in according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed meetings, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths." Scripture does not reveal what particular day be observed in the future, but it is worldwide. The Sabbath is also a reminder for believers to enter the spiritual rest God has provided through Messiah Jesus. The seventh day is a gift of man for rest and replenishment, and most of all because the Sabbath is a shadow of the rest available through the person and work of Jesus Christ. The solemn observance of one day in seven as a day of holy rest and holy work to God's honor is the indispensable duty of all those to whom God has revealed his holy Sabbaths. The way of Sabbath sanctification is the good old way. Sabbaths are as ancient as the world, and there is no reason to doubt that the Sabbath, being now instituted in innocency, was religiously observed by the people of God throughout the patriarchal age. The Sabbath of the Lord is truly honorable, and we have reason to honor it for the sake of its antiquity, its great author, the sanctification of the first Sabbath by the Holy God himself, and by our first parents in innocency, in obedience to him. The Sabbath day is a blessed day, for God blessed it, and that which he blesses is blessed indeed. God has put an honor upon it, has appointed us on that day to bless him, and has promised on that day to meet us and bless us. The Sabbath day is a holy day, for God has sanctified it. He has separated and distinguished it from the rest of the days of the week, and he has consecrated it and set it apart for himself and for his own service and honor. Though it is commonly taken for granted that the Christian Sabbath we observe, reckoning from the creation, is not the seventh, but the first day of the week, yet being a seventh day, and we in it celebrating the rest of God the Son, and the finishing work of our redemption, we may and ought to act in faith upon this original institution of the Sabbath day to commemorate the work of creation to the honor of the great Creator, who is therefore worthy to receive on that day blessing and honor and praise from all religious assemblies. May God bless you and keep you safe.
This podcast has come to its end. We have faith you were blessed by it. Please consider subscribing to listen to further inspiring messages. Thank you.